Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate you tuning in. Today is Sunday, January 8th, 2016. I'm your host, Maddie Love. With me in studio is Hertzy and Liz. Hi, Liz. And we are all here to chat with singer, songwriter, musician, and above all, super awesome, nice person, Shelley Segal. Unfortunately, we're having a little bit of issues getting her on the phone right now. But when she does get on, this is going to be an open conversation, and we welcome and encourage listener interaction with your phone calls to 952-946-6205, your emails to radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at Atheist Talk. The phone number is only live, you know, for while we're talking here, but you can always email or tweet us whenever, whether we're live or you're listening to the podcast. So, no Shelley right now. We're working to get her, but how about diversity in Star Wars Rogue One? Spoiler alert. Like, yeah.
Oh, yes. Also spoilers for Force Awakens.
Oh, yeah. Although Force Awakens has been out for a year?
Yeah, a year.
So you should have seen it by now.
Oh, yeah. And that was both. So first off, I would say both movies were absolutely fantastic. You know, aside from diversity, I thought they were great additions to the Star Wars universe. But the first time I saw Force Awakens specifically, I was so distracted because I was like, wait. This is looking so much better.
Yeah, when you get to the part, like, you know, where Rey and Finn are meeting each other in Force Awakens, my absolute favorite part, like, is when she's really mad at Finn, like, for grabbing her hand.
I know.
She's like, I can run by myself. And as a Doctor Who fan, I was seeing Doctor Who all over that scene.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, that was, like, my absolute favorite part of, I think, of the whole movies, as far as diversity goes.
Oh, yeah. And it also was great because it continued Princess Leia's, I guess you could say, legacy about being the self-rescuing princess. With Carrie Fisher passing this year, you know, it was really sad, and it made me reflect on why Princess Leia, I thought, was such a great character. And one of the reasons is, one of the first things she does when she meets Han Solo and Luke Skywalker is tells them, well, somebody has to save us, and it's obviously not you two.
Right. And, I mean, she needed help to get out of, like, out of the Death Star, it's just out of the cage.
The prison.
Once she got out of her cell, she was good.
Oh, yeah. And if you go back, there's been some interesting things on at least one of the Tumblrs I read talking about her life. And if you look at it, she actually was able to beat the droid that was sent in to extract information.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she was an incredibly strong character. She just needed that door open. After that, she was good.
This isn't really diversity, but when you mentioned droid, I started thinking of my new favorite droid ever. And that's the droid that's in Rogue One.
Oh, my gosh. K250. Oh, my gosh.
He was so dry. The droid was so dry and so snarky. And just, like, that was the best droid I've ever, like, my favorite droid ever.
It reminds me, I played the Star Wars game that BioWare came out with, like, way back in the day, and they had a droid that was very similar to that one, and the droid always called everybody a meatbag. So the entire time in the movie, I'm going, say meatbag. Dang it, just say meatbag.
Yeah, BB-8 was cute, but I felt like BB-8 was like a palatable version of, like, or filled the same role as, like, Jar Jar Binks without being so terribly annoying and frustrating.
See,
but as far as being slightly of a bit of a comic relief,
I could definitely see that. I think I thought saw him more of a little bit more like a R2-D2 character.
Well, okay, yeah, no, I take back everything I just said. I think you're right there. No.
But going back to some of the diversity, it's very interesting to see the reaction of the geek community as far as the diversity has gone. There's been a lot of backlash and stuff. And I know that it's a very good, you know, it's a minority, but it is interesting to read about how, you know, they're all upset because we've had two female leads. And I'm like, oh, yes, because this is such a problem. You have how many male leads and how many people of color leads? Let's do some math here.
Well, and for geeks to be mad that Finn, you know, a black stormtrooper, it's like, So you classify yourself as a Star Wars geek. So you try to, like, put out this air of, I know a lot about the topic, but you didn't know enough to follow the story where they explained, like, that they're not clones anymore. Like,
I know.
It's okay. Like,
that's why you have clone troopers and storm troopers. two different kinds.
Exactly. I thought the response from like the larger community was great as far as the movies like Rogue One just like broke the 2016 or came in second out of all the movies.
Nice.
Like, you know, I mean, so obviously as a community and as of Star Wars lovers, we said, we are just fine with this diversity, you know, mm-hmm. putting a woman in the lead role or putting somebody of color in the lead role. That isn't going to stop us from going to see the movie.
No. We go to the movie because of the storylines and such. I think that it was interesting that Rogue One kind of broke away from that epic long storyline and kind of did a shorter one. It also really gets into that grittiness that the other ones kind of gloss over a bit, you know, and I thought that was really good. The end was just like, it was one of those, I was like, kept going, well, maybe, nope. Nope. That did not. At least they got the plans out.
the rushed little bit at the end, mm-hmm. I loved and hated a little bit. Like, it was like, come on. That, and I was rewatching A New Hope, or as some people might think, the sequel to Rogue One. And it dawned on me, it's like, why didn't somebody just make a copy? Like, it's obviously a galaxy long, long ago, or far, far away, long, long ago, because mm-hmm. I just grab a thumb drive. Make another copy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, doesn't R2-D2 have a USB flash port? Like, why is this like one set of plans?
I know that they uploaded it to all of the fleet, and then it looks like most of the fleet was destroyed.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think that was, because that's what she does, is she puts it on like a thumb drive and puts it in R2-D2.
Yeah.
So I wonder if maybe they couldn't get out farther.
I don't know. I thought that was just something that popped in my head rewatching this. I was like, just make a copy.
Yeah.
And so you catch the droid. You've got more copies. But, you know, whatever. I'm just picky there. No, I loved the ending. As we said, spoiler alert, almost everybody dies. I didn't want it to happen,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, I felt like if it didn't happen, it wouldn't have been as good of a story. I'm rooting for them to live while hoping that the story forces me to be almost cry and be sad.
Oh, yeah. And each one, I love how they made each one its own scene, you know. I think the only one I would actually argue that it's not its own is the two, the monk. Oh, I'm terrible with names. The monk and his friend, though there are some questions about that.
Oh, I go way past question. I just say that there are a couple.
Oh, yeah. I love the fact that it's like, even the director's been like, it's a universe. It's a huge universe. There's no reason why they can't. And I was like, I can work with this. I mean, sometimes when people ship stuff, I'm like, hold on. I need to work out exactly where that goes. But this one, I was like, no, that makes sense. I am a canon shipper. <It's> so terrible. But yeah, so those two, I love the fact that they connected those deaths so beautifully, in the sense of he was so sad to see his partner go. And it was just like, no.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm projecting that I want the two them to be in a relationship. But even if they're not in a romantic, they were at least in like a Sam Frodo type relationship where they're just best friends, thick and thin, always going to be there for each other.
I was going to say, any shipping is projecting.
Right. Well, that's very true.
Even canon shipping. It's like I was for Harry Potter, I was a big fan of Hermione and Ron, you know, even though a lot of people, you know, they wanted her to go with Harry or something. It's like, it's still a projection. You know, I like the idea of the goofus, you know, guy. So for me, Hermione and Ron was a great couple.
Yeah, no, I think that totally. I wouldn't have liked Harry and Hermione together. Almost would have become like, almost like the trope, like what you expected.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it was nice that it kind of diverged and
exactly. But back to Star Wars. I had a thought and then it disappeared. But the backlash has been very interesting to look at. I think that there's a lot of good stuff coming out, with a lot of people coming out more of talking about how that representation matters. And I really hope that they take more steps in this direction, because it's like, okay, we've got some of this covered. Let's see if we can push it to the next level and then see if we can do that for some of the other places. I think Marvel would be a great next step in that direction. They would be a great leader. A lot of people are always like, oh, well, you know, these are no fail places. I'm like, that's great. That's great, but it's still a step. Mm-hmm. And if we can get these leaders to take a step, it's a top-down trickle. Then it just becomes more and more.
It's one, the idea that it's no fail is great because it makes the studio executives who are really they might care about diversity, they might have whatever, but their biggest agenda is we want to make money and lots of money. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I've got, that's fine. But like by putting a non cisgender white male cast member somewhere in there, and then having that movie still succeed, they see, okay, well, this is at least isn't going to hurt the movie.
Exactly.
Whether it helps or not is, you know, beside the point, but at least, Ghostbusters did. That one had a lot of backlash.
And there's some interesting stuff that I've read up on that one. I think it was Movie Bob, who's a movie critic specifically for Geeky Movies. He talked about how a Ghostbusters sequel, no matter how great it was never going to succeed, even if you got all the actors back. Because Ghostbusters 2 didn't do all that well.
Ghostbusters 2 was terrible.
You know, so it's like Ghostbusters looks like one of those where it was a one and done, you know, maybe movie. So I have not seen Ghostbusters. I know, I'm a terrible geek.
It was so funny.
Oh, that's what I've heard. It was great. And it's one of those I'm like, I just hope that the studio executives don't blame the factor it was a female cast on the factor that it didn't do as well as they were hoping.
Well, everybody knows that Melissa McCarthy and Kirsten Wiig can't make a good movie.
Oh, yeah. No. Like, it's Melissa McCarthy. She's amazing.
All right. Well, this is become, instead of atheist talk, it's become geek talk. But we hope to still get Shelley Segal on the line. Please stay with us for the break. We'll return to Atheist Talk. I'm Maddie Love, here with Hertzie and Liz, listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
This is Paul Metza, inviting you to listen to my Wall of Power Radio Hour, featuring music, culture, and entertainment, and cool people from all walks of life and from all 50 states, every Saturday night from 6 to 7 p.m. on AM 950.
Someday, the high and the mighty will fall. There will be no power brokers. The Wall of Power will fall.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh-baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
There are those that say that the recent severe storms are God's judgment. There are those that say humans are causing climate change. Humanists know that knowledge of our world comes from observation, experimentation, and rational analysis, not from reading horoscopes or old writings. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems by meeting times and locations and more at humanistsofmn.org. Like us at Facebook, too, or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours. And ours alone.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. I'm your host, Maddie Love, in studio today with Hertzy.
Hello.
And Liz, who's, she's been quiet so far, but you know, she is here.
Hello.
We are supposed to be chatting with singer, songwriter, activist, and all-around super awesome person, Shelley Segal, but we're still having some difficulties with the phone connection. Not the radio station's fault, just still working on it. Before we get back to that, however, I want to remind everyone who's listening live that immediately following this program, you can listen to American Atheist Viewpoint, an official production from American Atheists. This week, Nick Fish, National Program Director for American Atheists, is discussing religious bigotry, the new bathroom bills designed to keep people like me from being able to pee, and a judge in Texas who's decided that doctors should be allowed to refuse treatment to people who have had an abortion or were transgender. Because apparently diagnosing strep throat in a man who had an abortion 20 years ago is somehow promoting evil. But anyway, there is much work left to be done to disentangle religion and government. So stick around, and remember, you can always catch American Atheist Viewpoint by subscribing to the podcast version in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or the podcast player of your choice. As for the here and now, if you'd like to get involved with the conversation with Shelley when she gets her, or without, I mean, if you want to call in and talk about Star Wars with us, or we're going to move on to something else, but we are always open to talking about Star Wars. You can give us a call.
Yes.
We're at 952-946-6205. Email us at radio@mnatheist.org or tweet us at Atheist Talk. Hertzy, so we were talking in the break. You had mentioned something about a simplicity pattern and Hidden Figures, the movie that's just come out this weekend.
Oh, yes. Which looks fantastic. I haven't seen it, so no worries about spoilers there. But I was on Facebook this morning, and it just saw something that, you know, maybe helped us think of this awesome topic about diversity in movies and Star Wars. And it was a picture of this new simplicity pattern for the movies. For those who don't know, simplicity is a pattern maker. They make clothing, scrubs, dolls, I mean, all sorts of stuff. And what's interesting is in this picture of the pattern, they have the movie poster, Hidden Pictures, and the next to it is a model who's white in the one of the costumes that they have a pattern for. And it was looking, and it was like, you know, there's the whole point of this movie has now been missed because you've basically whitewashed it. I mean, and not even basically, they did whitewash it by putting this model there, and it was like, could you not find one? I'm pretty sure they're there.
Well, like you had mentioned scrubs, I work in a lab, and I might work in my pajamas / scrubs to work every day.
Oh, that must be so comfy.
It is. and the best thing is I never have to figure out, does this match? Because I'm only allowed to wear one color, because, you know, anyway, beside the point.
Nice.
But, like, when I'm flipping through the scrub magazine to at least decide which pattern I'm going to wear, you know, we've got a wide range of models, men, mostly women, because, you know, but, you know, women of all colors.
Yeah.
Women of all shapes. Now, I mean, they're still mostly skinny white girls, but, but, you know, there is a diversity. There's no excuse really, for simplicity here. I mean,
absolutely not. It's just frustrating because it's looking and it's like, you know, the point of Hidden Figures is to show how instrumental people of color, and specifically women of color, have been in our scientific community, and to just kind of blank on that point, it's like, no, that's an important piece, especially because, you know, people who are younger and stuff, they look at Star Wars as, in a sense, kind of a future, you know, like Star Trek, and it's like, I can do this, you know. Uhura was a huge inspiration to Whoopi Goldberg and Martin Luther King Jr. being a black woman on the bridge. I mean, that was unheard of at the time. And Roddenberry had some really good ideas.
Well, and thinking about Hidden Figures, even in the pattern, I'm willing to bet that it wasn't like they weren't nefariously trying to do this, but it still lets that whole, oh, we totally didn't get it.
Like, yeah.
They to be that, I don't want to say naive, but like just that, like you just missed it. Like
I'm hoping it's just they missed it.
Well,
sometimes it's like the, oh, right. And it's like, you should have been thinking about this whole time. I can't let him get too much of a pass. I'm sorry.
No, yeah, and I certainly don't want it. Okay. Don't want to come sound like it sounded like I was defending them. My first thought was, well, it's probably just Photoshop. And I apologize, Simplicity, if you don't just Photoshop the clothes onto your models, but and I don't know if they do or not. But even then,
It's like you have multiple models.
Right.
You can pick a model who is, you know, more accurate for the movie.
Exactly. I've made a few dresses in my day. I've, you know, done enough projects with Simplicity to know that I've seen plenty of other like models mm-hmm. on the patterns. They have a diverse model selection to choose from. Just talk about like just like you had said, they just completely missed it on here. And
absolutely. But going back to Star Wars and Star Trek and science fiction and such, I'm actually really excited this year for Convergence, which is going to be coming up in July. And that, I know a few years ago they did a panel about diversity, or not a few years ago, it was last year, about diversity in movies and such. And I'm really interested to see what they come up, you know, if they redo that panel and what they talk about with Rogue One. It was great because it was a great diverse panel. It was one of those I was like, thank you. I don't want to hear about, you know, diversity from a bunch of white guys and girls because that doesn't make any sense. But I'm really hoping that they revisit that one and talk about the movie.
Yeah, that would be great. Oh, yeah. I just like from the transgender perspective, talking about, you know, having a group of white guys on a panel talking about diversity. I see so many times a panel of like, oh, we're going to talk about transgender issues. And everybody on the panel, there's like nobody on the panel is transgender. Or it's like there'll be one and it's like, just like, and we see it too, like in all the diversity things.
Oh, yeah.
And there's, I don't want to sound like I don't like white dudes because I actually very much like white dudes and many other colored people. It's just more that, you know, we need to have the representation.
Absolutely.
And it's not that one point of view is better than the other. It's that we need to bring all the different points of view in together so we can, like, make the best decisions.
Well, and it's also experience that you understand. You know, one of the things that was great is my thing with the sitting in that panel particularly was I am here to listen and try and learn because I'm a woman, so I at least know that particular portion. But there's so many other experiences and opinions that I need to start looking at with these things that I'm not going to get by trying to say anything. What I can do is I can listen and then see if I can say anything to, you know, powers that be in some of these places to go, hey, look, maybe we should do a thing over here.
Right, right. Because no single one of us has all the answers.
Exactly.
And like you had said, just showing up to listen, like so many times it's like I need to stop talking so that I can listen so that when I do start talking I sound more intelligent. One of my favorite Bible verses as an atheist that makes it sound kind of funny, but you know the Bible gets credit for it, but it's just really a good piece of common sense, is that even a fool is not wise if they keep silent. Like you keep your mouth shut when you don't know what you're talking about and you're gonna sound smarter. Mm-hmm. You open your mouth when you don't know what you're talking about, you're gonna sound like an idiot.
Yeah, which is hilarious because what I know probably the most about is Star Wars lore.
All right, well, we'll return, not with Shelley Segal, unfortunately. Well, it'd be awesome if we returned with Shelley Segal after the break. Please stay with us. I'm Maddie Love, here with Liz. Hi, Liz.
Hello.
And Hertzy, you're listening to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Listen to A Woman's Place every weekend on AM 950 Radio to learn about progressive issues from a woman's perspective. We'll hear insights from key leaders of our day and tackle the major issues, because all issues are women's issues. Listen every week to A Woman's Place for conversation that ignites change. Join us on Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. or podcast us anytime at am950radio.com.
Make the connection. I'm Lori Fitz, host of Connections Radio Show, talking about ideas that matter. Join me and my guests as we reflect on a wide range of topics that challenge us to see ourselves, our community, and the world around us in ways that get us thinking, connected, and perhaps inspired or challenged to do just a bit more because we made the connection. Be a part of our conversation Saturday mornings, 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers, here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheist Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
John Paul with your AM 950 weather update, brought to you by Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club. Today will be cloudy with a high near 15 and wind chill as low as negative 16. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 10. Then on Monday, cloudy with a chance of snow in the afternoon and a high near 22. Situated by Moorhead on Lake 65, Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is one of the most beautiful fine dining restaurants in the Twin Cities. For more information, go to eatlocalminnesota.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm your host, Maddie Love, in studio today with Hertzie and Liz, and we're about to have what I'm going to classify as a lovely conversation with the one and only Shelley Segal, who we're finally able to get a hold of.
Yay.
But before we continue with that, start that conversation, which will be our final segment, there is a bit of housekeeping I need to attend to. It's really important to me that we keep secular voices on the public airwaves and in podcast form. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from the Minnesota Atheists, the Humanists of Minnesota, and Cucumbers Restaurant in Edina, Minnesota. Please consider visiting our sponsors, and if you do, let them know that you appreciate their support of Atheist Talk. If you'd like to advertise in this program and help keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheists.org. This radio program is put together by dedicated volunteers and the generous donations of you, our listeners. You help keep Atheist Talk on the air. This week, we'd like to extend a special thanks to Eric, Geraldine, and Michael and Nancy, who gave through the Atheist Talk link at givemn.org. If you're able to help with a donation, please consider doing so at our Radio Fund page. Minnesota Atheists is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization. We couldn't do this show without you, and we deeply appreciate your support. Music for Atheist Talk is by composer and member Brent Michael Davis. If you enjoy the show and all that Minnesota Atheists has to offer, consider becoming a member of Minnesota Atheists while you're on the website. Your support helps us better serve you. All right, with all that relevant and very useful information out of the way, we're going to get started with our conversation with Shelley Segal. Hey, Shelley.
Hi, Maddie. How are you?
Fantastic. Sorry that we had some connection problems, but we're really happy to get you here.
Yeah, me too. I'm good.
Glad to be back.
So the last time we chatted with you was 5 years ago, way back in February of 2012. And it appears as though you might have been successful in this whole music thing.
Yeah, I remember that chat. I think we talked, maybe it was a different time in Australia. It was like late at night for me. And I was outside my house sitting in my car. And yeah, it's very different. Now I live in the U.S.
So you're in SoCal right now, is that correct? Maybe not right this moment, but like that's
yeah,
what you
mean. Yeah, I'm in Los Angeles.
Fantastic. So I'm assuming that it is. Let me check the weather here quick. It is -4 degrees here right now,
without the wind chill.
Yeah, without the wind chill. So I'm assuming that it's a little bit warmer where you're at.
Yeah, it's so beautiful here.
Take us with you.
when we, you know, my partner's here with me, and he loves woolen jumpers, woolen kind of jackets, and he's not had to use any yet. And it's like the middle of winter. It's like, what are we going to do with all of my jackets that I've brought? But we're going to be on the road, so I think we'll definitely get to use our warmer clothes, just not here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I see that you're going to be at ReasonCon in North Carolina coming up here. I believe that ReasonCon is in April.
Yeah.
Can you walk us through the process, like from your end, like going, how do you go from like just performing and how does somebody book you for such a big, giant, like conference like that?
Well, my email is shelly@truemusic.com.au, and people just get in touch and let me know about their event. And if I'm available, so it depends. If I'm on a tour, then I can usually incorporate an event into that, you know, into my tour route. If it's on the way, you know, I can time some of my shows around that content or event. Otherwise, sometimes conferences will just find me from where I am, which now is a lot closer than where I was before. Another way of going about it. Yeah, so just getting in touch, working around my schedule, and then the only other thing to really consider is making sure they have the right sound equipment.
So reading your bio on ShellySegal.com, which is a fantastic website, you're described as, quote, an artist, an activist, and an explicit storyteller. Shelly uses her music not only to express the way she sees the world, but to create the world that she wants to see. I think that's a really beautiful way to approach life. Can you explain more, though, what that means to you?
Yeah, I feel like words are so powerful. And they shape the world around us. And the words that we choose to think inside our own minds, they shape who we are, and they shape the way that we treat ourselves, and they shape the way that we treat each other. And they literally build the world around us. And so with the words that I use, you know, I'm doing that. I'm creating my world. I'm creating my reality. And I mean, as an artist, I'm sharing that reality with other people. So I'm putting that worldview out there for people to kind of rub up against and see how it makes them feel. And I think, I believe that it's powerful. And music and songwriting has affected me since I was a little kid. I mean, I think the first artist that really touched me, I was 9 years old, and I had bought my first album, Jagged Little Pill, by Alanis Morissette, and
that's
I went.
A great album.
Oh, I love that song.
I listened to that every night for 2 years, like just on repeat. Went to sleep to her screaming for 2 hours every night, and the words, they get into your head, and these little phrases and these ways of looking at the world, they stay with you, and sometimes, you know, later as an adult, I would face some issue in my life, and some little phrase from one of her songs would come back in my head, and it stays with me, and it shapes who I am, and it's been one of the most meaningful and powerful experiences in my life to hear and absorb music and lyrics in that way. And so I want to be part of that exchange, and I want to create that and do that for other people. And, you know, as I said, words are so powerful, and I feel like in the moment I don't always get them so right, but with a song I can take my time and I can craft it and make it perfect and then share that idea back and put it out into the world and hopefully shape things to be better than how I found them.
So I have a question. This is Hertzie. So when you're threading, you're talking about getting it perfect. Have you ever had a song that you're like, okay, this is absolute perfection?
Yeah, I guess sometimes you feel that way. You know, the funny thing is, usually the songs that take the least amount of time that feel that way. And I've heard a couple of other songwriters talk about this as well. They haven't used the word I'm about to say. I call it vomiting. Like when I just vomit the song.
I'm well aware of the word vomiting.
It's just like, you know, it just comes out almost reformed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an amazing feeling, and it doesn't happen very often. One of my other favorite artists, Sarah McLachlan, said that happens for her song Angels.
Oh, that's such a good song.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, it's so good. So yeah, sometimes I feel that way. But usually when you finish a song, I feel that kind of excitement. Yeah, that's just so well. But then, you know, after the excitement wears off, maybe you don't feel that they're so perfect anymore. Like, there's not many, but there's a couple of songs that I think, oh, I could have said that better. But you feel that.
So of all the music you're talking about getting that song just like that perfect song, and I'm thinking of all the music you put out, my favorite song that I think is like perfect is the Sidelined.
Oh, cool.
I am not the skinniest of women. I never will be, and I will never be like the stereotypical ideal like looking model, supermodel or anything.
Yeah.
And I mean, part of me like really wants to be, even while I hate it that I want to be.
Yes.
that song, I just wanted to share that. That song really speaks to me, and I think it's such a great message, and it's a great song to begin with. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was really happy when I wrote that song. It's funny because I'm like, usually I'm crying when I write songs.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And you cry sitting over the guitar and tears like falling on it, and you're like, yes, this is gonna be a really good song. But I feel that song was really cathartic to write, and I feel the same way. And it's funny because you don't want to, I don't want to be pulled in that direction, but it's hard not to feel it. It's hard not to feel the weight of the expectations of everybody. And I think we're kind of conditioned to have those expectations on ourselves as well, and it's painful, but it's real. And I was glad to talk about it and add to the conversation on body image, because I think it's a really important conversation to have. And a lot of the time, you know, we get this message that it doesn't matter how you look, because it's what's inside that counts. And I wish that was true. And it resonates with me so deeply. Like, as a value, I think that should be true. But it's just not, because we're really, really visual creatures. And it's undeniable that the way that we look, or the extent to which we subscribe to those aesthetic expectations, is going to really deeply color the outcomes of our lives. So, there's a sadness there that I feel towards that, but also I, like, you know, the rest of my music, I want to know what the reality is. I want to know what the truth of the situation is. whether that's painful or not.
So you've been doing a lot of traveling in the last few years, and especially around the United States. Do you have any observations on, like, and this is a really, I guess, long question because I only have like a minute left, but do you have any observations on, like, the state of local atheist groups, both inside and outside of the U.S.?
Yes, they are fantastic. That's been, like, one of the best things, about getting to tour like I do, is exactly see the secular movement from a national grassroots level, and it's awesome. There are groups all over the country, whether it be, like, deep in the South where they can't talk about who they are and there's 13 people in the group, but they just hang out and support each other and do charity drives and try and, normalize the concept of atheism in their communities, whether it's, like, massive political organizations that, like FFRF and Madison that are just have a round-the-clock legal team, fighting for the rights of their fellow secular citizens around the country, whether bigger groups that can have really fancy speakers and resources or...
And I'm unfortunately, Shelley, I'm going to have to cut you off. I'm so sorry.
It's good. It's encouraging.
Well, thanks. Thank you for joining us this Sunday. The podcast for the show will be on the air or on the radio page later today.
If you're over 50 and concerned about any of the following, stay tuned for an exclusive free bottle offer. Are you concerned about your heart health? Are you interested in healthy brain function? What about joint comfort and energy? Well, if you answered yes to any of these questions, we want to send you a free bottle of Krill Omega 50 Plus now with CoQ10. Krill Omega 50 Plus with CoQ10 combines krill oil with fish oil in one tiny pill. And this little pill delivers big health benefits to your heart, your joints, your arteries, and brain. And with CoQ10, you'll enjoy extra energy too. Best of all, you can get a free bottle of Krill Omega 50 Plus with CoQ10 today. Just pay for shipping. Call right now and request your free bottle. Dial 1-800-647-1579. That's 1-800-647-1579. 1-800-647-1579. Again, call now. 1-800-647-1579.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dina. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly, plus our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers, with scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from. It's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members with at least two events every week.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, minnesotaatheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words Click Here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Hello, and welcome to the American Atheist Viewpoint for Sunday, January 8th, 2017. I'm Nick Fish, National Program Director for American Atheists, and thank you, as always, for joining us. This week, now that the new year has really kicked off, the new Congress has been sworn in, and a lot of state legislatures are coming back in and putting new legislative proposals in place. Since that's happened in the new year, we've now seen a couple of bills filed, one in Texas, one in Virginia, that apparently seek to replicate in some way the North Carolina's SB2, which was the so-called bathroom bill. This was the bill that essentially said that if you're a transgender person, you're not allowed to use a restroom that corresponds with your gender identity. You are legally prohibited from using the bathroom that corresponds to your gender identity if your birth certificate does not match your gender identity. In Texas, the bill that's been filed is essentially just a clone of this thing. It's a clone of North Carolina's bathroom bill. And, you know, let's be clear about what these bills are. You know, they have nothing to do with actually protecting people. They have everything to do with some sort of disapproval of trans people. A lot of this bigotry is, for all intents and purposes, rooted in religious dogma. Certainly, it isn't exclusively in that domain. There are certainly anti-trans, bigots who are atheists as well. But a lot of this comes from religious disapproval of gender roles and that sort of thing. So one of the things about this rule, though, or these bills, is that there have been zero reported instances ever of a person under the guise of being trans using a bathroom in a way that or as a way to assault anyone. It hasn't ever happened, period, never. Now, if you look at the number of people who have been victims of sexual assault in churches, the same obviously can't be said. There was a pandemic of sexual assault of children from Catholic clergy. It's happening in Hasidic Jewish communities. It's happening in Protestant communities. It's happening all over the country, across all denominations, because they're of the power dynamic, and because people are able to get away with this in a way that they're not in public. What they're doing is legislating a problem, or legislating a solution for a problem that simply doesn't exist. There's never been an instance of a trans person in a bathroom sexually assaulting anyone. And what we need to do if we are serious about passing public policy that is based in fact, that isn't based in religious dogma, we ought to be serious about holding accountable people who pass bad public policy, even when it doesn't necessarily jive directly with religion. These people aren't saying that it's an infringement on their religious freedom. Always, they're sometimes saying that, but they're couching it in terms of protecting people, and it's just not true. The other thing on trans health issues, and this is something that's going to be a topic and going to be a problem that we face for the next foreseeable future, after the Hobby Lobby v. Burwell decision that allowed closely held corporations to exercise religious freedom. There was a ruling that came down in Texas from a district court judge who said that the Affordable Care Act's requirement that would have forbidden gender-based discrimination, it was unconstitutional because it ran afoul, of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, because it wasn't the least restrictive way of protecting trans people and women who've had abortions, and that it imposed a burden on doctors' ability to exercise their religion. Now, this rule would have required doctors to not discriminate in treating trans people or in treating women who have had abortions. Please note, as I've said previously, this doesn't have anything to do with actually providing abortion. This wouldn't have required doctors to actually provide abortion. It would have required them to not refuse to treat patients who have had abortions or to provide follow-up care for a woman who had an abortion. What they said and the argument, religious groups that made the argument in this case, they said that they would be abetting evil, which, you know, that's a pretty strong thing to say. And that's kind of what we're dealing with here. When you look at exactly what we're fighting against here is they view this as literally a battle between good and evil. And that, you know, they don't view this as a health choice. They don't view this as a constitutionally protected choice that, oh, maybe they disagree with, or maybe they wouldn't do themselves. They view it literally as murder and as evil, and they don't want any part of that. Well, if you're in the business of treating people and providing healthcare, and you view abortion and in some cases, you know, this was the Hobby Lobby decision, view contraception as abortion, you're just factually wrong. And again, this goes back to caring about policy that is based and rooted in reality, and that we as atheists, we as people who are concerned about facts and concerned about what, you know, the way that the world actually is and not necessarily the way that, you know, we would hope the world to be, we have to look at public policy certainly as an expression of the way the world is, and shape it in a way, or shape public policy, or use public policy to shape the world in a reality-based way. And so, you know, thinking that providing contraception is an abortion, you know, you're just factually wrong. Thinking that trans people are a threat to anyone in public, you're just wrong. Thinking that you have a religious prerogative to deny treating people, again, you're just wrong. This is the stuff that we need to fight back against, because it's not going to be so clear as, I mean, it never will be as clear as we want to establish a state religion. That's not what they're going to do. What they're trying to do is use religious notions of gender roles and of the role of women and the role of, you know, of the sexes, and say, you know, men should do this, women should do this. If you have sex and you're having sex out of marriage, and, you know, this is another issue that's come up is discrimination against people who are in a relationship outside of marriage. This goes back to the First Amendment Defense Act, the so-called First Amendment Defense Act that President-elect Trump has promised to sign. It ties into religion, even if it's not them saying directly, we're doing this because God told us to. These are the things that we're going to have to fight against, and a lot of them are going to be coming at the state level. This Texas bathroom bill, as well as another one in Virginia that's even worse, that I'm not even going to get into. These are coming out at the state level. And, you know, in some cases, like in Virginia, there's a Democratic governor who's not going to sign it. But in Texas, you better believe the Republican governor is going to sign that thing. So that's all we have time for this week. Thank you, as always, for joining us for the American Atheist Viewpoint. For more information about our work or to become a member, please visit www.atheists.org. Welcome to the new year. If you weren't able to sneak in your year-end contribution before the end of 2016, we would certainly like to have your support now. You can go to atheist.org/donate to learn more. Thank you, and I'll talk to you next week.